Okay, first of all, I want to welcome everybody, and I also want to thank, as always, our good friends, the Elbogans, for being Masada in Yonim and taking care of the photostats, so we could be able to spend the Mitzvah Shem some time learning an Inyan that I've been putting off for some years, that really requires a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous amount of patience and hard work. And I was hoping that in the summer we're all a little bit more relaxed and we'd be able to learn about this in a way that's with shikul hadas, with seichel. And the photostat that you have in front of you, those of you who have come previous summers are familiar with the contraction that we've been doing from the Tzaddik Reb Tzvi Meir Silverberg from Yerushalayim, who actually was zeichet to have in our shul as a guest a few weeks ago. He's an extraordinary, extraordinary person. And we spent 2 years ago, we were talking about parenting, and last year about Simcha. And Baruch Hashem, we've all become wonderful parents, and we're very happy people. And we're working on these things, all of us together. We're working. We want to be better. So the Indian that we're going to be talking about this summer, we're going to be learning this kuntras. I don't think we're going to actually start inside yet tonight, because I need to give a hagdama. The nature of this subject is such that it requires really a hagdama that might take tonight and half of next Monday night in Mitzvah Shem, until we'll be able to enter into this kuntras. Those of you who recall, it's written in very clear and simple Hebrew. It's really transcription of a talk that was given by Al Peh. It wasn't written as a sefer. Therefore, it's mixed in with a lot of Yiddish, and it's written in a way that we feel that the person is standing and speaking to us. I like to be mocked him with a story. And the story is really what this entire shiur is going to be about for the entire summer, Mr. Shem. And some of you might have heard the ma'isa. It's well known. But there was a ma'isa, you know, that we have a tradition, and it's rooted in the Svarim HaKadoshim, and has sources in Chazal as well, that there are 36 hidden tzaddikim, the Lamed Vav tzaddikim. Nowadays, anybody does a favor for you is already a Lamed Vav tzaddik. But there are really Lamed Vav tzaddikim. There are 36 hidden tzaddikim. And it's also known that there were certain great tzaddikim who were appointed from Shemayim, were appointed by Kadosh Baruch Hu himself to take care of the 36 tzaddikim, that this individual would be privileged to know who they are, and that he and a few other tzaddikim were responsible for the parnasa, for the well-being of those 36 tzaddikim. One of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, I'm sure many of you heard of, was the Rebbe Reb Leib Saras. Reb Leib Saras was responsible for the 36 tzaddikim. This tzaddik, the Rebbe Reb Leib Saras, would go from town to town raising money to pay ransom. In those days, you know, the Jews were taken on a whim. Jews were taken away from their homes, they were imprisoned, and fortunes of money had to be raised to pay for the ransom. The tzaddik, the Rebbe Reb Leib Saras, used to do this. He went from town to town raising money for pidyon shvuyim. So once Reb Leib Saras came to a certain town, and he needed desperately a huge amount of money, whatever, 10,000 rubles, and he needed it that day. And the olim there were poor people that could barely put together a few rubles. And there was one yid there that was a gvir. There was one Jew that was wealthy. And he said to the Rebbe Reb Leib, "I'll give the entire amount." And Rebbe Leib Saras accepted from him. He said, "What bracha can I give you? Anything that you want. You want arichas yamim and shanim and children, any bracha." So could you imagine if you or I were offered from Rebbe Leib Saras anything? But this Jew said, "I don't want anything, Rebbe, have bracha Hashem. And I want to do the mitzvah l'shem shemayim. It's my pleasure." Rebbe Leib Saras says, "But you can have more oish." He says, "That's not what I'm looking for. I would like to meet one of the 36 tzaddikim." So Leib Saras said, "No, that's a hard thing. But because of what you've done, you'll be zayichet to meet one. Not right now, but I'll tell you when. And that was the end of the Maisa. Subsequently, that Jew became even wealthier than before, and he decided that, or he was trying to decide whether he should remain, in the shtetl, or he should go, as was his dream, to go and to move to Yerushalayim. Now, in those days, for a Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael, to move to Eretz Yisrael, it's hard enough nowadays. In those days, it was near impossible. And he couldn't decide. He would have to leave most of his family. They wouldn't be able to go. And he couldn't decide what to do. And he was struggling with this for a while, until finally, he realized that he can't make such a decision on his own. And he heard that the Rebbe of Leib Soros was making his circuit. He was traveling the circuit to raise money for Pidyon Shvuyim, for the Tzaddikim, and so on. And he decided that the next time the Rebbe Leib Soros comes, he's going to ask him whether he should stay in the shtetl and support the poor, or he should move to Yerushalayim. And after a couple of months, Rebbe Leib Soros came, and the Yid went to him, and he says, "Rebbe, you remember me?" And Rebbe Leib Soros, "How could I forget you? You're the one that saved the life of that family. You helped me out." So he says, "Look, Rebbe, I have a question. I don't know what to do. Should I stay here in the shtetl, or should I move to Yerushalayim?" And Rebbe Leib Soros says, "You know, that's, I can't answer that. But you remember when a year ago, when you helped me out, you remember you asked what? You asked if you could see one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. So the time has come for you to meet one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, because only such a person can answer that question, whether you should stay here or you should go to Yerushalayim." So I'm sure many of you know this story. Rebbe Leib Soros told him how to find this tzaddik, some place in the middle of nowhere in the forest. And Rebbe Leib Soros told him, "Listen, he's a tailor, but he's a different kind of a tailor. But in this place, in that place in the forest, that's where he is. Go and see him and try to get a bracha from him, and he'll answer your question." So the Yid went over there, and he came through the forest until he found the place, and then he was thinking, "How am I going to introduce myself? What am I going to say?" So there's one sure thing, that if you have to go to a tailor, that if you come with a piece of clothing that's torn, that's usually a good reason to come to a tailor. So he tore his pants a little bit. He made some tears in his pants, and he went into this Lamed Vav Tzaddik, and he said, "Look, I'm traveling here. I want to know, I heard you're a tailor, is it possible for you to fix my pants?" So the tailor told him, the tzaddik told him, "Okay, give me your pants, here's a blanket, and sit over there in the corner." So the yid is sitting there, and the Lamed Vav tzaddik takes the pants, and the second that he puts the needle into the pants, our nice, sweet yid who gave all that tzedakah lost a scream. He felt that it was mamish, that he was putting a needle through his heart. That he was putting a needle mamish through his heart. And as he's pulling the thread through the pants, he's screaming, "Gevald!" And then he puts again. And each time he's putting it through, you see that the tzaddik is concentrating, and he's fixing the pants. And each time the man feels that he's being ripped into a million pieces, and at the same time he feels that he's being sewn back together, he's being made whole. And every single stitch, he feels that he is going to die, but then when the stitch is finished, he feels that something inside of him is being fixed. And this is going on for a while. He's screaming, and the tailor's sewing. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and the tailor says, "Yeah." So he's thinking, what kind of business could there be in the middle of the night, and you know, in the forest? And somebody walks in, a beautiful-looking person walks in, a Jew. And the tailor says to him, "Shalom aleichem, matala. How are you?" "Baruch Hashem, how are you?" So the tailor says, come. You want to watch how I sew? Because you need to learn. Matala, I'm not going to be here forever. And you're going to have to learn how to sew on your own. You're going to have to sew pants and shirts and dresses on your own. So watch carefully how I sew." And this matala said, "Okay." And again, he's putting through, and the yid is screaming, "Gewalt!" Until finally, the pants are finished. And the tailor holds up the pants, and he shows them to matala. And he says, "Nu matala, do you think these pants are the kind of pants that could be worn even in Yerushalayim, matala?" So this matala says, "Yeah, these pants can be worn even in Yerushalayim." And that was the answer. of course, for that Jew. And he didn't want to stick around anymore. He was scared of this whole thing. And he put on the pants. And he went off to Eretz Yisrael. And he was there for some time. And after, over time, he developed some sickness. And he didn't know what to do. He was living in Eretz Yisrael. And there were people that told him, look, there's a tzaddik back near where you used to live. There's a tzaddik in Russia. The Rebbe of Motel Chernobyl. There's a tzaddik in Russia. Go to him, and this way you could already visit your cousins, your relatives. Leave Eretz Yisrael. Go to him, just for a visit, to leave Eretz Yisrael. Go to him, to this Rebbe Motel Chernobyl, get a bracha. In the meantime, visit the mishpacha, and come back in good health. So sure enough, he goes to Chernobyl. The Rebbe Motel is the biggest Rebbe in the world. The son of the Mori Naim, of Nachum Chernobyl, the son. So he comes into a Motel Chernobyl, and he almost passes out, because he sees this is the Motel. And her Motel Chernobyl says, what's the matter, Abid? What's wrong with you? So he said, do you remember a couple of years ago in the middle of the night in the forest, I was by this tailor. It was a crazy thing for this tailor. He was sewing my heart. He was sewing the pants. He was sewing my neshama, my nefesh, my ruach. And I remember you were the one who he said Reb Motel. And Reb Motel Chernobyl says, no, he didn't call me Reb Motel. He just called me Motel. But I remember. And he gave him a bracha that he should continue to wear Mitzvah Shemlo's pants in Eretz Yisrael, and that he should, and they should be healthy and he should be well. And he returned to Eretz Yisrael. So I said that he told over and he gave over to the children and grandchildren of Bezoichet to have this story. So why is this a hakdama? Because when you learn the inyan of Tikkun Hamidus, when you undertake to learn the subject of refining ourselves, of self-refinement, of self-improvement, every single word hurts, because invariably every single thing that we talk about is going to be that's my problem, that's something that I'm missing, it's something that's, you know, it's something that's torn inside of me. So it requires, as we're going to learn about more in this Hagdama, it requires a certain type of courage and honesty to even agree to learn in a sincere way the Inyan of Tikkun Hamidus. Or Befrat, the Mida that we're going to be talking about this summer, which is Kina, and envy, jealousy, the smallness that consumes so much of our life. So much of our lives are consumed by that smallness that Kina brings. So beforehand, it's important that there be a warning that even though it might feel like it's hazardous to one's health, and one can feel when one learns the Torah in this inyan, you could feel the needle of the words of the tzaddikim piercing the heart, and it hurts because the truth hurts. And any time there's surgery, any time there's repair, there's pain. However, my main objective, of course, in doing this now is that I'm personally filled with a very, very strong belief and feeling that Hine Za'imed Acha Kosleinu, that the days of Mamash coming for our return to Yerushalayim. And I would like to have a pair of pants to wear in Yerushalayim. And you could all use some nice dresses and outfits to wear in Yerushalayim. That we should be properly clothed when greeting Mashiach Zakenu, so that the kind of people that we are should be the people who can live in Yerushalayim and be proud of who we are and the lives that we've chosen. And what we're going to learn over this week and next week, just by way of hakdama, by way of introduction, is that there is no greater preparation. There is no greater preparation. And it's not my opinion. We'll see from the tzaddikim. there's no greater preparation for our return to Yerushalayim than this avoda, the work of Tikkun HaMidos, and ubefrat the Mida of Kinah, and especially since we're talking now during the time of the 3 weeks leading towards Elul and the Yom Niroyim, there's a special urgency. Mashiach is Mashiach Mitz Hashem, is Mamish Acha Kaisleinu, he is here. And we have to get ready for our trip. So we don't have any more that tzaddik, the tailor, and Ramat Lachanobel learned the malachi from the tailor, but we have the words of the tzaddikim that have been handed down to us generation after generation. I want to begin with something which is absolutely shocking. Everybody here, I'm sure, heard of the Chiddush HaArim. The Chiddush HaArim was Rabbi Shemaya, was the first Ger Rebbe. Chiddush HaArim, a Goyin, a Kaddish, they don't make him like that anymore. The Chiddush HaArim. The Chiddush HaArim said on himself, about himself, that for 13 years, listen, for 13 years the Chiddush HaArim said, Ovad al Atzmoy, Ovadati al Atzmi. Chiddushim said that for 13 years he worked on himself to the point he says, I'm just telling you what he said. Ad sheyorek dam meroiv yigeisai. He said, till there was blood coming out from me. I was dripping with blood from my yigiyas, from my struggle with what? L'chanech es atzmi l'midas toiv ayin. To teach myself to be a person that has an eye in taiva, a generous eye, a good eye, which we could say without going into anything yet, the opposite of kinnah, to be a taiva ayin, to fagin. 13 years. And he said this was so difficult. He says, Shaloi hayarak koshali losis lizulase. Not only was it difficult for me to give anything of my own to somebody else, the Chiddushim said that not only was it near impossible for me to give anything of my own to someone else, but even if I would see somebody else acquiring something on his own, not for mine. He says, Gamzahya Koshli, he says, even this was difficult for me to fagin. It took me 13 years of rikikas dam, of spitting blood, till I was able to be masak in this inyan to fagin other people. So when I saw this, first of all, I felt a little bit better, you know. Right? You feel a little better when you see that. Chiddush HaArim. So I was thinking, how could it be? It sounds like the ayin ra of the Chiddush HaArim, God forbid, was so abnormal that even regular people, normal people like ourselves with our good days, our bad days, with our ups and downs, can't understand such a kamtzonis, such a nature that the Chiddush HaArim described with himself. How could it be? Pashut, how could it be? Unless we say, and we're not going to get to the end of this tonight yet, unless we say that we have the extraordinary schus of being invited to a shir given by that tzaddik, by Rabbi Shemaya from Warsaw, the Ger Rebbe, a shir that he is drawing us into in this inyan of Tikkun HaMidos, and that he's telling every single one of us that I've been through this, I've been there, and I know what it's about, and that you too can do it. So let's try to understand the shir of the Chiddush HaArim. To begin from the beginning, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvos HaSei Ches, and I'm going to say things now that I'm hoping that most of you are familiar with, and you've heard before, but it has to be clarified and to lead us towards the inyan that we have to focus on. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, V'amitzvah hashminis hi shetzivon l'hidamas b'yisal l'fi yichalteinu. The eighth positive commandment of the Torah, in the Rambam's list of the 613 mitzvahs, is that we should, as much as possible, resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo'omrei v'halachta b'drachach. And this is the mitzvah saseh, where it says, v'halachta b'drachach, and you shall walk in Hashem's ways. And then he says, and we find this repeated other places in Torah. And Chazal have explained, what does it mean to walk in Hashem's ways? Everybody's familiar with this. That just like the Master of the Universe is compassionate, so too we have to be compassionate and forgiving and so on. When it says in Pasuk to follow the ways of Hashem, we don't know what it means to be like Hashem. All we know is that Hashem has revealed that this is the way that His Tov, His goodness, is manifested in reality by clothing the poor, by being machnes kala, helping a chasna kala, and so on. And by being Rachum and Chanan. So he says that Hamida sat Hachshuva sheyetur behem hakel yisala, that our way of being mekayim this mitzvah, of going in the way of Hashem, is by imitating, kivyachal, these midas that Hashem has revealed in the world. What this means is that according to the Tzaddikim, the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Zohar HaKadosh, the Ari HaKadosh, the Ramchal, all the tzaddikim, the tachlis of our existence here in this world is uvoy sidbak. Uvoy sidbak means to be dvukim, to be dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be attached, to cleave, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis of our life here in this world, uvoy sidbak. Reisi Elokim Ponim El Ponim, what does it mean for a human being to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face, when it's impossible for a human being to reach such a madrega? It's impossible for any human being to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the Kadmainim have taught us that there is one path that is called the path of Hashem, that without this it's impossible for a person to do what? To reach that darga that's called dveikus, which is the tachlis of our lives, attachment to Hashem. And the only way that that can happen, this path, is the way of tikkun hamidos, because there's a klal in halacha, without going into any details, there's a concept that's called min b'minoi. Min shebemino means that according to the Torah, the only way that there can be attachment is when there are two that are similar. I've spoken about this in the past many times. In the secular world, in the world that doesn't have Torah, there's this idea that opposites attract. The truth is that opposites end up getting divorced, and opposites end up with plenty of tzaras. According to the Torah, opposites might be attracted to each other because it's exciting, just like when you're very hot, it's nice to have something cold, or when you're very cold, it's nice to have something hot. But as far as dveikus is concerned, attachment can only be min shebeminoi, when two resemble, when two are alike. When there's a matzav, when there's a situation of min shebeinoi minoi, when the two that are not alike, that are dissimilar, that do not resemble each other, there's machloikis, disparity, separation. Therefore, what the Rambam is telling us, and it's not the Rambam, it's from Chazal, and it's from the Torah, that to achieve dveikus to Hashem is baruch, the ultimate means of achieving dveikus. So of course you have to keep every mitzvah. But the ultimate way of achieving dveikus, and without this, dveikus is not shaykh. You might have the biggest hat, and you might have the frummest looking outfit in the world, And you might send your kids to the most religious yeshivas that exist. And you have a son whose payas touch the floor. And you have a daughter whose sleeves drag along the floor. And Allah's, everything is 100% is beautiful the way it's supposed to be. But if you do not resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that if your midas contradict Rachum, Chanun, Erech HaPaim, Rav Chesed, Emes, if your midas are not the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the best of your ability to be misakin those midas, then you exist in a state of min b'she'enei minai. That means that you are dissimilar, and even though you have the finest hat and the biggest mezuzah, and you might be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, you cannot possibly be in a state of dveikus. Kedoshei Elyon, the most exalted tzaddikim, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his Talmidim, referred to this as Ladamais Tzura Liyitzra. That means that the one who is formed, created the human being, has to be daima to be like the one who formed him. Tzura Liyitzra. Listen to a sentence from the Kedushas Levi. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak ben Sarasasha was a Jew who lived his life in this way. Listen to the sentence from the Baditshava. Some parashas kisisa. If you have kedushas levi, you should look in kisisa. Ki bevada yisharis nishmasim mechui v'leis mekadoshim etaher ma'ay. He said, certainly, in accordance to the level of the root of the soul of a Jew, it only befits a Jew in this world to be what? To be holy and pure. B'chol mine tahara. Ubefrat, he says, and particularly, im hayiraitse lodun lefimi doisav hakedoshim ha'elyoinim. That if we want to be judged, if we want to live up to the holy midas of Hashem, ulefiktu shoso hagedoyla Hashem tzrichim ledame tzura liyitzra. That in order to be attached to Hashem, the Rebbe of Levi Yitzchak says that one has to be daime liyitzra, that we have to resemble the one who created us. Shenikru bonim lamakam. That the Torah calls every single Jew, Hashem calls each and every one of us his children, his child. Now listen to these words. Uben shel melech tzarech lehisnaheg b'nimusei aviv. No? What's the translation? The ben shel melech, the son of the king, the daughter of the king, tzarech lehisnaheg b'nimusei aviv. He has to behave according to the manners, the nimusim, of his father. Nimusei ha'ab. Believe me, and I'm not exaggerating, my wife, you know, she's here for the shiurim, so it's hard for me to lie. Even if I were allowed to, it's hard for me. That my whole life, I'm dreaming of being able to live up to the nimusim, to the manners of my father, Zal Gezun Zayin, in this world, my father, who gave birth to me, in this world, my mother, that I should be zeich to live a little bit according to the nimusim of my father. But Kedushas Levi is saying that the Rebbein Shalom called us his children, and that means that to be be'emes a child, is that there's an expectation that in order to experience a relationship with our Father, Shabbat Shammai, that we have to live according to that way that's called Nimusei Ha'aba. It's very hard. And we're going to learn what are the Nimusim of our Father, and how each and every one of us can try to live more in accordance to the Nimusei Ha'aba. The Tzaddik of Meir from Zhitomer, he has a long drush in Sukkis, in his Sefer, in the Inyan of Sukkis. And he explains how each one of the Arba Minim, the Lulav, the Esrog, Adasim, the Ravis, each one of the Arba Minim, on a deeper level, is teaching us how to refine a different Midah. I'm not going to go into that right now. If we have time at the end of the Sermon, we'll go into that closer to Sukkis then. But he discusses how each one of the Arba Minim is the avoide in the tikkun of a different midah. We're familiar with the fact that this corresponds to the heart and to the eyes and so on. He talks about tikkun hamidas with the arba minim. And there the tzaddik from Jatamer writes that the whole inyan of the tefillah of the davening of Yom Neroim is v'simloich ata hu Hashem Elokeinu meheru levadecha al kol ma'asecha. Our whole tefillah of Yom Neroim is that we're begging the Rebbeinu Shalom that quickly Hashem, you shall rule, you shall be king over all that you created. And the tzaddik says, V'kibalnu aleinu al malchus shamayim michadosh liyos avdei Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we've accepted upon ourselves once again, O malchus shamayim, to be what? To be servants of the king. Ul hizdabek boy. That's our whole tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, is that we should what? Become attached once again to Hashem, that during the course of the year, we became detached, separated. And the whole avodah of the Yom Neroim is to become reattached. Therefore, the tzaddik says that after Yom Kippur come the days of Sukkot arrive, and all the mitzvahs of Sukkot, which we're not learning about right now, how, but all the mitzvahs of Sukkot are teaching us how to fix our midas. Each one, Hadas and Aravis, is telling us, the sitting in the sukkah, Tikkun Hamidus. Ki ein shayach lova ledvekis Hashem. Because if you were sincere on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you were davening, v'simlach ata Hashem Elokeinu, when you were davening, I want you once again to be my melech. During the year, I forgot you were the king. I thought that my boss was the king. I thought that my husband, I thought the children, I thought that the world, I thought that the president of the United States was the king. I made mistakes. And it's Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and I understand, Rabbi Shalom, and the similar Ata Hashem Elokeinu, that you're the king. So the Tzaddik Rameril Jatamel said, that's why Sukkot follows Yom Kippur. Because if you really were sincere when you asked for Malchus Hashem, there's only one way that Hashem's Baruch can be Melech in your life. If you mean it, he says, Ki ein shayach lova ledvekis Hashem ela yidei shemedabek es atzmo b'midaisa. Because the only way to really, really serve Hashem and to be mizdabek to Hashem is by being mizdabek, by attaching yourself to His midas. But if you think that after Hashanah Yom Kippur you could be the same Balkaz that you were before, the angry, resentful person, if you could be the same person that's filled with kinna, with unbelievable kinna, that you were before, and you could say sincerely that Hashem Baruch is my melech, the Baruch Shalom can't be with such a person. Hashem Baruch can't be attached to someone who's so different kivyachol from him, who's so different from him. There's an entire sefer, an amazing sefer that I strongly recommend that each and every one of you buy. It was translated around 10 years ago into English, and everyone should have this. There's no greater preparation for Elul, for Hashanah Yom Kippur, than learning this sefer, in my opinion. Talmud Devar, I'm sure many of you heard of it. There are schools named after Talmud Devar, but there's a sefer Talmud Devar. Talmud Devar is written by the Mekubal HaElokei, Rav Moshe Kodevero from Tzfas. I'm sure many of you heard of. We call the Ramak, who wrote many, many Kabbalah Svar. The Sefer Talmud Devar has some ingredients of Kabbalah, and it certainly can be understood from beginning to end Alpi Kabbalah. But it was not written with Derech HaKabbalah. It was written for each and every one of us. Talmud Devar, the palm tree of Devar. Talmud Vayra is a small little sefer that you could finish certainly before Rosh Hashanah. What the Tzaddik, the Ramak, does in that sefer is he goes through the 13 midas of Hashem and the 10 spheres of Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, and so on, Chabad, Chesed, Gvurah, until Malchus. He goes through the midas of Hashem and the spheres and the midas of that we say also by Tashlich. He goes through each of the midas, and he tells us, what does that midah of Hashem mean, And how can you and I in our lives, on a simple, practical level, incorporate that midah into our lives? In other words, the midah al-yayin of Hashem, the highest of all the spheres, sometimes it's not even included in how we count the spheres, is called what? Keser, crown. Keser. Every single Musaf Shabbos, when you say Keser yitnu lecha, that's what you're talking about, the crown. We don't know what that means. It's not for us now. We're not going to talk about it. Something in Kabbalah. In Talmud Devarah, the Ramak tells us what is the meaning on our level of Hashem's midah that's called Keser, crown. He speaks there about humility. Keser reveals the humility of Hashem. What he discusses, and please, if you have a chance, it's Kedai to buy the sefer and to look inside. The Ramak explains over there that despite Hashem's infinite exalted greatness, that the Baruch Shalom Bechlal doesn't have to look into any of our lives and be preoccupied with our narishkeit, with our silly things in this world, with whether or not I have a pranasa, I don't have a pranasa, whether my baby is, the tooth hurts, it doesn't hurt. Why does the Baruch Shalom have to Bechlal become involved in this? Ella, there's a midah of keser. And the midah of the crown means the greatness of the king is that despite that he's so exalted, he's magbi lashavis, he's so beyond our comprehension, the greatness of the king, of our king, is that despite his greatness, there is nothing in this world that's too small for him. There's nothing that he doesn't care about in our lives. And the Ramak speaks about how you and I can work on this midah with the Jews who we see as being less than us, with people who we see as being insignificant, with children who we see our own children as being silly and small-minded. There's a midah that's called keser. And keser in Kedusha means another, it means ayin. Just like when we speak about Hashem's crown, it means divine nothingness, something that we can't talk about, we bechlal don't understand. That midah in terms of us, when it's used for kedushah, means that even though I might be beyond this person, so to speak, that person is not too little for me to love and to relate to. I come down to that person. I connect to that person in his matziv, in her matziv. That's the crown of holiness. Now you know that for everything that exists in holiness, there's a rule that's called Zelu Mazer Asa Elokim, which means that just like there's a keser in holiness, there's a crown in the world of Tumah, and the crown in the world of Tumah, we understand, is the crown that's worn of the Rishoyim, and the crown of the Rishoyim is what? To control. To control, it means, who are you? You're nothing. I'm wealthier than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. I'm more accomplished. I'm more successful. So the keser in Tumah is what? Is to rule over another individual. The keser of holiness is to humble oneself, to connect to an individual. And the Ramak's entire sefer is to go through each of the midas and to teach us what is the midah hakedosha, what is that midah in holiness, and how you and I, on the most practical level, can incorporate that midah into our daily lives. This is a teaching that we have, Baruch Hashem, here. The Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, the Baal HaTanya quoting the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Mizrit Shemagi brought this from the Baal Shem Tov. You know that mostly the Chassidim and the Misnagdim agreed with each other. There are only a few small items of disagreement that have caused a lot of aggravation. But in this, we have a vart that the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Chaim Volozhiner said the exact same vart. And I'm sure most of you heard this vart. Hashem Silcha. What does it mean? It means that Hashem is called our shade or our shadow. Hashem Silcha. Hashem is called Itzel. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and Reb Chaim Volozhiner both taught that the meaning of that is, I'm going to talk a lot about this in Mitzvah over the summer, that the nature of a shadow is that when the person does something, the shadow will do the same thing. If it ever happens to you that it's not like that, you should move very quickly away from that place. Usually if you do something and your shadow should do exactly the same thing. So Hashem Tzilcha means the Baal Shem HaKadosh and Reb Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh Chaim said Hashem Tzilcha means on the simplest level the pshat is that the way that you act towards another Jew is the way that the Baruch Shalom is going to act towards you. Hashem is your shadow. That means that if you wear the crown of holiness and you humble yourself, hamashpili lirais, if you're able to get down on the floor with a child or with another Jew who's lost in some childish thing, if you're able to do that, then kivyochel, the master of the world, will sit down on the floor with you when you're going through your dark periods. And each and every one of us has those times. Hashem Tzilcha, if you activate the midah of chesed, of rachmanis in your life towards others, there's no more powerful way than activating the midah of chesed and the midah of rachmim towards you. Which doesn't mean that that's the ultimate motivation, but it's nice to know. That's what it means, Hashem Tzilcha. And we're going to talk a lot about that when it comes to the meaning of kinna and the opposite of kinna being a toiv ayin. And the inyan of being down the kaf schus, which I'm going to be learning with the many mitzvah Shem Thursday night, the inyan of kad being down the kaf schus, we're there that tzaddikim have revealed to us an awesome teaching from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And it's also found in other svarim, not just from the Talmud of Baal Shem, that when you judge somebody in a favorable way, we're going to learn in the kuntras from Tzvi Meir also, that when you judge somebody in a favorable way, it means that at that moment, it was your din Torah, you were being judged, and if you judge that person favorably, then you paskin on yourself a good din. And if you chalila look at that person in a negative way, that means you're paskin on yourself. You're paskin on yourself. We're going to talk more about that. And this is not an exaggeration. This bechlal is not an exaggeration. If you activate in your life, any time that in the slightest, tiniest way, you strengthening yourself, one of the midas hakadosh, one of those midas of chesed, of chanan, rachum, but we'll talk about the different midas, if you're mesaken even in the smallest way, so you have to know, you have to believe, emunah shleima, that causes unbelievable tikkunim in the universe and in your life. The tzaddik who we told the story about at the beginning, Reb Mortal Chernobler, writes at the beginning of his sefer Likutei Torah, "V'tzarech lahamin be'emunah shleima," that a Jew has to believe with complete faith. Kishaodim minaneya afilu be'espektana, that even if a Jew just moves an espektana, his little finger, his pinky, meaning that he makes even the slightest effort to change, the slightest effort to improve, he's causing the highest worlds, spiritual worlds, to be moved from one place to the other. So now the question is, if this is the aside of all of our Yiddishkeit, and this is the essence of our lives, as we learn the mitzvah uvoy sidbak of Dveikis Tasha, and it's not some chassidish inyan, but the Rambam says, this is the inyan of halachta bedrachav. This is the mitzvah of dveikus to Hashem, of connecting to Hashem. Then how do we understand that so many times in our lives we have a hisayrus to become better? And whatever midah it is, not to be so angry, or not to be so jealous, v'chulik. And we're misayrus in this inyan. And such a short time later, that desire fades away. This is the ikar of our whole Yiddishkeit. I told you 2 years ago that when I was in yeshiva, I'm just going to remind you, but then I was in yeshiva, so part of the experience is to try to work on different inyanim. So when I was in yeshiva, there was a certain bacha that his inyan was to be masak in Lashon Hara. Shmius Lashon, and what are you saying? You know how the cook gets Lashon Hara? You know, it was one of these, and he carried the Shmius Lashon with him, and he had the Chavos Chaim's picture everywhere. He possibly felt that we were being suffocated by him. And he was right. So then after after Pesach, we came back and we sit down there the first lunch after Pesach, and this same guy says a piece of Lashon Hara, but not a drabon and not an avak Lashon Hara. Amish, a real gesunte piece of Lashon Hara. L'chala deyes, Lashon Hara. And we all looked at him. How could that be? So, he looked at us and he said, nah, that was the last month I was working on Lashon Hara. This one I'm working on Kaz. I'm not working on that anymore. So we have to ask ourselves, what's wrong with us? That our whole Yiddishkeit depends on what? On Tikkun HaMidos. Our whole Dveikus HaHashem depends on this. And yet, it seems that even though we sometimes have a Hislavis, we have Hislavis, especially after a real bad day, like, of Chas HaShalom, you're rough with the kids, you're yelling at a kid. So whenever I would, walk away from that, and I would tell my wife how I was so terrible, and I would say, I think to myself, that's the last time in my life I'm ever gonna raise my voice with a child. It's the last time. It can't ever happen again. Until the next day. While the child's asleep, it's true. I didn't do it again while the child was sleeping. So how come? Why is that? Why is that we have such a hislavis? And I'm fearful. I don't want it to happen with us. That to be able to sustain and avoid and tikkun hamidos. Why is that? That it doesn't last. And what can we do to make it last? Because the last thing in the world that I want to do is to just talk about something and then, I don't see myself in this world as having a job to give sermons, to give speeches, and that's not my inyan. To work together, to be misakin something, to sow some pants to get ready for Yerushalayim. So why is it, Taka, that as much as we know that we have to fix these things, and we realize that it's impossible for a Jew to be Dovak Takarash Baruch Hu, to attach ourselves to the master of the world wearing such filthy garments, such begodim tzoyim. So why is that? So here, at least we can begin. Here's where the Chiddush Arvim, you remember the Chiddush Arvim, 13 years bleeding? Because he couldn't fagin a Jew. Not only to give something to a Jew, but he said he couldn't even fagin that if he had something that he got on his own, it bothered the Chiddush Arvim. How come he got that and I didn't? So here's where the Chiddush Arvim Schus Yagein Uleinu. Here's where he's inviting us to the Shia. The Chiddush Arvim wasn't embarrassed. The first thing I thought about after I read this was, can you imagine? I would never say that. The Chiddush Arvim said this, and he knew that every word that came out from his mouth, there were tens of thousands of people jumping on, right? Every word. Now, those were the tens of thousands in his place. He also knew that there are going to probably be millions who are going to savor every word that came out from his mouth and from his pen. So first of all, think about this. What a shia the Chiddushim is giving us. He said it. He admitted it, right? He said, 13 years, I worked on this thing until I fixed it. 13 years. So the Chiddushim is telling us, listen, I believe the first thing is, the first reason why we don't sustain over time our work in Tikkun HaMidos and correcting HaMidos is because of something which could best be called, I think, childish embarrassment. What does that mean? There's a busha, there's a type of embarrassment that's kodesh, it's holy. Busha is a very, very holy trait. Busha is one, yidna baishanim. One of the midas of Jews that were baishanim. We're shy, we're embarrassed easily. It's the tev of a Jew to be a baishan, to be embarrassed, to be shy. That a person should be embarrassed about his chesroinus, about his deficiencies, that he should be embarrassed. There is nothing that's holier than a person feeling embarrassed if he's done something that's wrong. Anybody that tells you that it's terrible to feel wrong or feel bad or feel guilty for something you've done that's wrong, anybody that tells you that is not speaking from the perspective of Torah. That a person should feel embarrassed if he's done something wrong. It's a midah kedoshah to feel embarrassed. But instead of that busha, which is really very holy, that if I've done something wrong, to admit, to acknowledge, not that doesn't mean to publicize, but to myself, to admit and to acknowledge, and to feel embarrassed before the one who made me. But instead of that, what happens is that we have this childish, immature embarrassment, this fear. We're afraid of being discovered, of being caught. One of the worst things I can remember is that there was a difficulty with one of the children, and I was getting upset. And then, to my horror, I don't know if you remember this, but to my horror, the person who was at that time the president of our shul was standing at the door. And the door was wide open, because the kids, you know, the door was wide open, it was warm weather. And I'm giving a mishaberach to the kid. And all of a sudden, there he is. That person who, more than anybody, I don't want to get caught by being imperfect. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get caught in an imperfect moment by this person. And the busyness of being caught, of being discovered. This busha that we have, which is not a busha that there's something wrong with me, because that's not what I'm embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. I should be thinking the Rebbeinu Shalom. I should be embarrassed in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. I should be embarrassed in front of my own children. I should be embarrassed for myself. I'm a yid. But that's not the busha that we become accustomed to as we grow up. As we grow up in this world, what we hate more than anything is for somebody else to think that we're imperfect. It's for somebody else to see our imperfections, our blemishes, our mistakes. So this is a great problem, because the truth is that in order for a person to ever even begin to be misaken his midas, to really sustain a true tikkun, a true melacha in fixing the midas, kaidem kol, he has to admit that there's something terribly wrong. He has to admit that there's something wrong, that there's something crooked. If he's not makir that, if he doesn't admit that, if he doesn't recognize that, but he tries whatever he can do to cover that up so that it shouldn't be noticed by anybody. And mimela, if I admit that I require a tremendous amount of work in this midah, that means that I'm accepting the fact that the attack is something terribly wrong with me. So for most people, the teva, the nature of a person in this world, is that he wants to see himself as being good, as being shalom, as being perfect. And he's embarrassed. And I mentioned this to you also 2 years ago, maybe last year, that I recall there was a time in school where I heard, I'm sure some of you might remember this, where I heard two people who I thought were my friend talking from behind the wall about me, saying something terrible about me. And I couldn't believe it. I was so tzibrochen. And I went home. My father saw that I was upset, and he said, "What's wrong?" So I told him, you know, these guys were saying something about me. I told tzibrochen. Of course, I said it because I thought my father was going to be mechazik me. So my father said, "Was it true what they said?" And I hadn't even considered that. I didn't for a moment even enter into that place. Why should I even think about that? What hurt me was that I was betrayed. I was betrayed. I thought that my friends, they betrayed me. So the first thing my father asked me is, "Was it true what they said?" He didn't ask me what they said, but was it true? So I thought for a second. I said, "Yeah, it's not true." It was true what they said. It was a terrible thing, but it was true. So my father said, "Okay." So I didn't call my father. I said, "That's the ikka. Then you should worry more about that, about whether if that was true, then you should fix that. And as far as your friends are concerned, so that's something they have to work on. But as far as you're concerned," my father said to me, "You work on what they were talking about, and not to worry what people say about you." So that's so much not our nature. It's so much not our nature, b'chlal, to admit that your pants need to be sewed, that there's anything torn, that there's anything that's wrong, bichlal. Because to admit that causes pain. And I spoke about this before, that Rav Kook in the Eretz HaTshuva speaks about, just another minute, he speaks about the pain of doing tshuva. Because when a person wants to change, that means that you're shining a spotlight on yourself. You know, you could walk around thinking that you're beautiful, but if you ever get too close to the mirror, then it doesn't turn out the way that, you know, maybe in the picture you could put this on, you could put that on, you get the photographer to face a certain direction. You know, you could shadow. Now that even after you take the picture, you can have all kinds of tikkunim. You pay the guy a couple of dollars and he'll change you into whatever you like. You could be a bechlai, you could be a different person. Right? So you know when you get too close, so then you see everything up close, so it's not as beautiful as you thought. So therefore there's a natural, instinctive desire to recoil from looking too closely at things, because you don't want to see the imperfections. You don't want to see that. You don't, and the last thing is you don't want anybody else to see it. That's for sure not. You don't want anybody else to see it. Therefore, Rav Kook says that when a person begins to think of tshuva, it hurts, because you begin to realize this is not right. This is not right. The way that I'm talking is not right. The way what I've been doing is not right. What I've been doing is not right. If anybody would stop and think, what does it mean bechlal? What does it mean to talk in shul? But these people don't know. We don't know what it means to talk in shul. But if I think about it, it's going to hurt. If I think about how torn my pants are, how torn I am, so then it causes so much pain. Therefore, there is this childish reaction. It's an immaturity in each and every one of us. That posha, we don't want to see that. I don't want to see the chisroinus. I don't want anybody else to see the chisroinus. And the worst thing is if somebody sees that chisaron, like my friends did that day, if somebody sees that chisaron, you get very defensive. You're very upset. You're very angry. How dare they? How could they? It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's true. But we resent and we resist that revelation to ourselves. Therefore, let's end with this tonight. Right, just there's still an Hagdom. We just have another maybe 15 minutes of Hagdom next time. That the beginning of the Avoid of Tikkun Hamidus, the beginning, is to try to overcome. It's very hard, but try to overcome that childish type of embarrassment, and to know that the fact is that it says that Eve already said, Va'ayu pera adam yivol, that means that everybody, each and every one of us, is created with unbelievable deficiencies. Everyone is created with all kinds of blemishes. Sof kol sof, each and every one of us has chisroinus. The grandson of the Imre Emes said that on the day of his bar mitzvah, that his grandfather, the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, said to him, Yesh nishmas anoshim shebetzim nivroim imidis tayvus. The Ger Rebbe said to his grandson on his bar mitzvah, there are certain yidden that they come to this world and they naturally have good midas, they have nice midas. V'yesh anoshim shenivroim imidis roisim ugunis. And there are other Jews who naturally do not have such nice midas. Hanishomas halalu, the grandson said that he heard from the Zayd of the Ger Rebbe, that these souls who come to the world with what? With not such good midas, him har be yoise gedolos kashem oivdim al atzmam, him har be yoise gevoyim. Those yidden who come with not such good midas, but who work on themselves, they lift their neshamas up to a much higher madrega than the ones who came to this world with the nicer midas. And then he ended and said, Abba olav shalom. The Imre Emes said that my father, who is the father of Imre Emes? Sfas Emes. He said, my father, gam nivra imidas rosim agunas. That's the Chiddush Rebbe's grandson. He said that my father told me that he was born with midas rois and magunis, with midas that were not good, ugly midas. And he worked on himself to change them to midas tayvus. And that's why my father, the Sfas Emes, was as great as he was. Not because he came He came to the world the best kid in the class, the sweetest, the gentlest, the softest, the nicest. He had midas magunas v'rois. Because when a Jew understands that Hashem Yisbarach created you and created me, each and every one of us with certain chisreinus, and instead of being embarrassed but to know that it's not one's fault, ki lekach noitzarta, that the Rebbe Shalom brought you to the world and created you that dafka with this chisarin, that you should overcome this chisarin, and that it's natural and that it's healthy, and instead of being the same way, you wouldn't be embarrassed. Are you going to be embarrassed? I mean, there are some people embarrassed from this nose or from those eyes. That's also Meshagah. So the Baruch Shalom created you in such a way that this is who you are. And Lekach Neitzarta. And this is, and therefore there's nothing to have a busha from. Melo, you understand. Once you understand that there's nothing to be ashamed about, there's nothing to be misbayish, then we can understand the famous Gemara. Reb Tzadik from Lublin explains this Gemara in an amazing way. This is a Gemara that from the time I was a child, I was so upset about this Gemara. And I'm sure you've heard the Gemara. There's a Maisa with Rabbi Lozer, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There's a Maisa there that he met somebody who it was Elionavi disguised. Rabbi Lozer met Elionavi, who was very ugly. Very ugly. And this person gave Shalom to the Tzaddik, to Rabbi Lozer. And Rabbi Lozer didn't answer him. And he even told him, he even said about him, Kama Mechur Oysa Ha'ish. You remember this? He said, Rabbi Loza said about this person, oh, he's so ugly. He didn't answer him, Aleichem Shalom. And he also, the Tana said that he, ugh, what an ugly person. And the man answered, you remember? What did the man, who was really Elionavi? The ugly person answered, Leich ve'emar le'umen shosani, go and speak to the craftsman who designed me. Go tell the one who, the craftsman, how ugly is the kli that you made. Meaning, go tell Kadosh Baruch Hu how he made such an ugly human being. So the Gemara always bothered me, you know? That's a very troubling Gemara. So Reb Tzadik HaKohen came to the rescue. And Reb Tzadik HaKohen says, it doesn't, God forbid, mean that it's talking about somebody who is physically ugly? Chas v'sholom. What does the Tan even care? Who cares about how a person looks? Any idiot wouldn't say such a thing. Elamai, Reb Tzadik says that the Tan, of course, is able to look at the face of a person to know what all of his midas. Because Tzadikim can look at the forehead, right? And they know exactly who you are inside, mamish inside. So Reb Tzadik says that the Tzadik, the Tana, looked at this person and he saw on his face such unbelievable ugliness, not on the face, but that inside of him, he saw in him all these horrible things, these midas and so on, all these terrible tchunas. And what did the person tell? And therefore he says, Kama Mechud, he wouldn't talk to him, Kama Mechud, as a schlechter mensch. In other words, he saw in him such ugly traits, such ugly midas, that he wouldn't even talk to him. Kama Mechud, Adam Zeh. And you hear, and the person said, it was really Elionavi, said to who? To Rebbe Lozer, Leich lo'umen shasa'ani, which means what? You know, you see in me a terrible temper, right? You see in me jealousy. You see me all shlechta midas. I didn't create myself this way. Leich lo'umen shasa'ani. Go speak to Rebbe Yishalom. He's the one that created me in such a way. Not that I can't work on it. But I'm working. I'm trying hard. But he created me with certain tchunas. I'm not embarrassed. This is who I am. Leich lo'um and shasani. He's the one that made me. And in the end of the Gemara is, of course, that Rebbe Lozer was mefayis him. In the end, the Gemara tells us that Rebbe Lozer, the whole mice in the Gemara, Rebbe Lozer apologized and the broch and so on. Therefore, you and I have to begin by knowing that the Chedushim was not embarrassed. The Chedushim invited us to Shia and he said, in 13 years I couldn't forgive a person. 13 years I couldn't forgive a person. Why was the Chedushim embarrassed? You, I would never say that. Because the Chedushim said, Leich l'um and shasani. The Rebbe Yishol made me in such a way. My work in this world is what? To masakin these meters. Is to fix, is to work, is to struggle. And he did for 13 years and he said it with pride. 13 years, I was bleeding 13 years till I could forgive a Jew. Not that he was embarrassed. That's the beginning of Tikkun HaMidas. Is not to be embarrassed. This is who we are. I'm not talking about other people. You want to be embarrassed, other people shouldn't find out. All right, we keep the doors closed. Make sure to turn on the news very loud. No one should hear what's going on. That's your own business. That's not the point. But before the Baruch Hu, before who you are, not to acknowledge that there's something wrong. The beginning of Tikkun HaMidos is that the Baruch Hu created us to be masakin these things. And we're going to learn about that in the Maimah. And therefore, instead of being embarrassed, to take upon ourselves that job with pride, and with even with simcha, and with hislavas, and to go about being masakin them into mizdabek to the one who made us, that we should be daimeli etzrein, we should resemble the one who made us. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll just finish up a little bit with something else that we can learn from the Chiddushim practically, and then in Mitzvah Hashem we're going to start to learn the Kuntres inside.